Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5, FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9, FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Poppy Evil. It is, oh my goodness, it's Friday. It's freaking Friday. Another freaking week. Freaking weekend's coming up. And I'm freaking ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 14th day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And I do believe we are joined by one of those sort. You know the sort mentioned at the beginning of the program. The sort that give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.E.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 38 degrees here. Wait a minute. I had a different forecast. Where was my forecast again here? Oh,
there. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray. And it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
Boy, that's the way it seems. It's currently 38 degrees here, and we're expecting a high of 42 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And there's a blanket of snow on the goddamn ground. It snowed last night again. It kind of was sprinkling snow earlier today. I'm gonna start passing around a petition to have whoever is the head of the weather service put to sleep. This has to stop, people. That being said, for your weather coast to coast, how are things today out there, Nazi Joyzy JD?
Well, over here in the Bahamas, Henry, oops, I'm sorry, I mean in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at a mere 120 feet above sea level and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean proper, we currently have a very nice spring day. It's 66 degrees out there, partly sunny, so, you know, the clouds are covering it up a little bit so you're not getting baked in that sunlight. Tonight it will drop down to, well, a low of 42 degrees, and during the weekend here, well, Saturday's going to be in the 60s, and then Sunday, we're going to be in the mid-80s for our daytime high with lots of sun. So it's looking pretty good. And, Henry, don't forget, today is Good Friday. And, of course, that's the day that, well, the Jews literally nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And, of course, that means it's a blood sacrifice weekend. So it wouldn't surprise me if something happens this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they're cooking some stuff there in Korea, John. Watching it this weekend. It may remind me of Bull Run, you know, where the people came out with their picnic baskets to watch the war. I mean, it has become a Hollywood world for goddamn sure. And as for your weather, I hope you get soap in your eye.
Oh, well, I'm sure I'll get a little mist in my eye when I'm watering my garden. Because, you know, I've got all my plants in now and my potatoes, my peppers, and my pear trees are starting to grow pears.
Oh, I'm glad for you on that front.
Anyway, Henry, you're right about North Korea because, man, I think they sent over the – now, remember Wag the Dog? I think they sent over the B-3 nuclear bomber. Ooh. Remember the B-3 from Wag the Dog?
Yeah, the big B-3. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, hey, little ping pong ball, man, he's about had enough of this shit from the story I've got here. It says North Korea official warns a preemptive strike of its own. Hey. Oh,
and you know, I think it is getting maybe perhaps a little serious, but there are reports that the U.S. has moved nuclear weapons into Syria now.
Well, into Syria, nuclear weapons, why not?
Into Syria, from the Incirlik Air Base, you know, out of Turkey. That was the CIA main transportation hub to get all that heroin out of Afghanistan. It was going through Turkey's Incirlik Base. Well, apparently, we had some nuclear weapons there, too. And, well, it looks like they're going to share the wealth and move some of them nuclear weapons over to Syria.
Wow. Well, that makes sense. Well, I hear they, I got a hold of a part of a conversation between Donald Trump and Ping Pong Ball, and we grabbed it, and we thought you guys might want to hear it.
I dare you to step over this line.
Okay, I'm a
stubborn.
I saw that when you put on the slides. Oh, I can't believe he found that. That's great.
Anyways, this is North Korea official warns a preemptive strike of its own, and we're going to get into this as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFT2.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, a North Korea official warns of preemptive strike of its own. And so,
Henry, bring out the circus clowns.
Oh man, bring in the clowns. Did you get, that little clip, I got that of I'm a Step, and I sent that to you in your, be, you got it?
Yes, I see. Thank you. I got to incorporate that into my soundboard.
Well, it's yours. I mean, it's your baby. So, I thought you might want to use it every once in a while. That being said, a top North Korean official is threatening a preemptive strike against the United States if his nation believes America is taking, quote, reckless military action. Well, goddamn, is there any other kind?
And Henry, we're down to a belief now. You don't need any physical action. They just have to believe.
Everything's coming together. I think that their con game is failing. They're not selling this bullshit, so they're going to plan B.
Yeah, and Henry, now remember, this was the Houdini word. Remember the death agreement between him and his wife? His wife was going to try and contact him in the afterlife. So there was a word that the psychics would convey from Houdini to prove that there was life after death. And of course, Houdini's wife went around and around and around, never found anyone till the very end. And this was in a state of despondency where supposedly she was ill and may have slipped what the word was. And this was the one time, supposedly, where the word came through. Now, you remember what that word was?
I do not.
Yes. Well, what they agreed on before Houdini had died, because remember, his appendix had gotten ruptured. And so when he went to the hospital, they realized he had blood poisoning and he was going to die. There was no way to stop it at that point in time. This is back in the, 1920s, Houdini died. And him and his wife had made a secret agreement that he would try and reach out to her from the beyond, from the life after death. And the only way she would know for sure it was him is they had agreed on a message. And that message was believe.
Believe, huh?
That was it. That was the whole message.
Well, how did this all come out?
I mean, spiritualists never got it.
When she went to the psychics, did they get the word?
Oh, nope. None of them ever did. She went around to all these different psychics, all promising they could do it and everything. And she exposed, like Houdini used to expose a lot of these psychics, too. Uh-huh. Until the very end, there was one con guy who kind of got close to her. And apparently she was in a state of extreme despondency or something, and it appears that she may have slipped as to what that word was. And so I can't remember the name they had for these people that kind of, these gypsies, communicators with the dead, that they had a name for, I can't
remember. Fortune tellers?
Yeah, fortune tellers, but they had another word for it. But basically, the fortune tellers.
Mediums.
Apparently, this one fortune teller finally got it, but it was apparently only after she was in this deep state of despondency where it looks like he had given her something, whether it was pills or alcohol. I don't remember the whole story. And she may have slipped as to what that word was, which, of course, was believe.
Believe. I think they're called mediums. That was it.
Yeah, the mediums. Yeah, and they had another word too, but mediums. That was it. They used to call them the mediums.
Frauds, charlatans.
Charlatans. That's exactly what they are.
I know there's another word. Vice Minister Heng Song-ro on Friday told the Associated Press that President Trump's tweets are part of a quote vicious cycle of escalated tensions in the region, adding that North Korea. I mean, look what we're saying here. Man. I can imagine the true warriors.
We need the proper background music while you're reading that. How's this?
There you go. Vicious cycle of escalated tensions in the region, adding that North Korea will continue to stockpile more nuclear warheads and improve on the country's nuclear program. As the United States continues to publicly weigh options to contain the country and its nuclear ambition, Han said North Korea would not simply stand by if it believed Trump would follow through on his threats. We've got a powerful nuclear deterrent already in our hands, and we certainly will not keep our arms crossed in the face of U.S. preemptive strikes.
Something in his hands, Henry.
I know. We don't want to talk about that. Not on the air. Anyway, whatever comes from the U.S., we will cope with it. We are fully prepared to handle it. And I'm watching him interview one of these North Korean clowns, one of the military clowns. And if you come here, we will squash your head, is how it came uninterpreted, I guess. And
Remember, Henry, it went down to the Trump's comment on this was, is that if North Korea engages in its next missile, nuclear missile test, not even firing at the U.S., just engaging in its own development program, if they engage in another missile test, that is sufficient grounds for us to do a preemptive strike.
Well, I think that they're supposed to be doing an underground atomic explosion.
They're supposed to be doing a follow-up missile tests also.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, and you got the carrier group headed there. I mean, hard to tell. You know, somebody's making a fat dollar off the carrier. When you take a carrier group across the ocean, somebody makes a whole lot of money. I know that. And when you got to build new Tomahawk missiles because you fire them into an empty desert, I know people make a whole lot of money doing that. And there's a whole lot of money in death and dying. As the U.S. continues to publicly weigh options to contain the country and its nuclear ambitions, Han said North Korea would not simply stand by if it believed Trump would fire. NBC News on Thursday reported, I guess we'll go with an NBC News report on.
English him speak.
Huh?
Good English, him right.
Him right, good English, him do. I'll correct him English to try and make it understandable. NBC News on Thursday reported that the U.S. is prepared to preemptively strike North Korea if it decides to test a nuclear weapon, a report that was disputed by other reports and government sources. What the hell did that mean? A report that was disputed by other reports. I mean, is that like it? Like Syria. Sounds like Syria. You know, there's reports that said that Assad was absolutely guilty, and then you have reports saying that that was the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS and the Daesh that have the chemical weapons. I mean, what do we believe here, John? I'm so confused.
I don't know, Henry. I don't even know what bathroom to use anymore, tell you the truth.
I don't either. So, I just go and squat over the urinal. The report added that two American destroyers are in the area with one armed and ready about 300 miles from North Korea's nuclear test site. This week, the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier strike group began to move towards the area. While the international community has sought to tamp down North Korea's development of nuclear weapons, the political leadership there has long been developing the capability and has tested those weapons underground at least five times. Han specifically did not rule out another test in his interview with the AP. The comments from the North Korean government are part of an escalated tension between an isolated nation and the West that have taken hold since Trump took office. Oh, really? Well, they got what the hell's the name of that freak, that basketball freak? They need to get him over there as make him the ambassador to North Korea. The basketball player, John, you remember his name by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about. The freak that likes to wear the dresses.
Yeah.
He's got enough tattoos on him, look like a coloring book.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, it'll come back to me.
All right.
I know who you're talking about.
All right.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, that's the psycho. Trump has also leaned on China, both in public and private, to take a larger role in the situation. Han specifically chided Trump for those tough words, calling the new administration more vicious and more aggressive than the Obama administration. Trump is always making provocations with his aggressive words, Han said. It's not North Korea, but the U.S. and Trump that makes trouble. I'm telling you, I was thinking about this last night. You know, I mentioned the fact that the cavalry guarded the people taking the gold out of the Black Hills. I mean, any person, these, you know, American Indians, any one of you that supports any of this shit going on in the other countries, supporting exactly what they did to you. Because, I mean, this is what you're seeing. It's just with more modern technology, but the process and the end result are exactly the same. Okay, now we go on to the next article. U.S. wary of Russian role in Afghanistan as Moscow holds talks. This is from VOA. Man, what happened to make an America great thing? Jobs.
And it looks like we went from jobs to, well, let's just blow the shit out of everything.
Well, and you know, the number one issue that the stupid people went out there on was the getting the illegals out of this country.
Well, that and Henry, he's going to keep us out of war, because everyone was terrified Hillary Clinton might do something like, well, launch missiles into Syria.
I know, that's the argument we heard. But now you have a Trumpy here. I mean, this is just cover. I mean, this is going to option two, because they couldn't sell the people on just, you know, him coming into office, not going to do a damn thing about the illegals, just going to leave the invasion in place, and just stepping up and handing everything over to the corporations, international corporations, handing your goddamn country over to the people who stole about $20 trillion from you in 2008, just giving it over to them. Hell, you gave them over you borrowed money from them to give to them, to owe to them with interest. And you let them eat out your substance for, what, hell, what are we going on here? Eight, 9 years since the Great Depression began. And they have been making record profits all the way down the line. Sounds to me like, well, here, let's jump in. Like I said, this is all a big spectacular show so far. Even the bomb, I think that bomb, that the mother of all bombs killed a whole 36 people, John.
Well, and let's do some quick math here, Henry. So, you know, it was nearly a quarter million pound bomb. Or not a quarter million, it was a 21,000 pound bomb. Now remember, this is the largest single conventional warhead ever dropped in human history. We've never dropped a warhead as big as 21,000 pounds before, a single warhead. This is the biggest one in human history. And so it had to be at least 10 pounds, $10 a pound. That would put it at about $250,000, $210,000. And that's if it only cost $10 a pound to make that thing. I guarantee you it was a lot more. But let's say it was roughly $250,000. So you had $250,000. So, $250,000 divided by how many people died?
36.
36. So let's see, that cost us on average about $7,000 per kill there.
Wow, man. We went first class, though, John. Did you see those?
Yeah, we did, Henry. I mean, we made a statement. Nobody knows how to blow money out their ass like we do.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of that explosion, I think when I listened real close, I heard that explosion. Yeah. Anyway, here we have, do you know that the Russians might be given those goddamn Afghanistani Stinger missile type weapons? Taliban?
Probably SA-7 or SA-8, I believe, is the next generation. That would be their Grail. We called it the Grail. And, just by no strange coincidence, Henry.
And just how dare them? I mean, just how dare him? You know, back in the 70s when Russia invaded Afghanistan to get its rare earth minerals, to take its riches, and the Afghan people, you know, went into the mountains and they blew them up and shot them and used those. I think there was Charlie Wilson. Was that his name?
Yeah, now Charlie Wilson, and there's a movie made by about this by, what did you call his name? Hanks, Tom Hanks. And in it, if you ever watch this movie, there's a lot of truth actually in this movie, especially about the inclusion, the use of Stinger missiles. Now, when I went in 1988, I got a lot of classified briefings talking about our use of Stinger missiles in there, our Stinger missiles instructors training the CIA and going over to this little shithole that nobody ever heard of before called Afghanistan. And we were training these special fighters called Mujahideen, which nobody had ever heard of at that point either.
Which became the Taliban, Mujahideen being holy warriors, right?
Holy warrior, yep.
And now the holy warriors are being trained by the Russians, and we're the invaders into that country. But, I mean, when you know, it's just like the rest of this hypocrisy. When anybody else in the world does something, it's a terrible terrorist crime. When we, I mean, not we, I don't want to include myself in the statement because I've never supported any of this shit. I've spoken out about it on every instance. But when occupational government, through its being the proxy of the Jews through the United Nations, went to Iraq. I mean, it's just that always struck me as so insane. We're going over there because we think that they have weapons of mass destruction, so we're going to drop 10,000-pound daisy cutters on them and blow up children. We're going to do some city busting, John. The most modern city in the Middle East. We're going to blow it clear back to the Stone Age, and then we're going to let the Jews come in and loot the museums and then build a pipeline down to Israel to pump their oil so that because that's really Israel's oil, because everything really belongs to them because, well, they're God's chosen people.
Yeah, and now, Henry, if you ever see pictures of Syria, especially some of their cities, you know, before we went in there on behalf of the Zionist Jews and reduced it to rubble, Syria had some beautiful cities until we got our hands on it.
Well, you can go, I mean, the people that, you know, cop to this notion that there was never such a place as Palestine, you can go find a footage of, I mean, the Palestinian people. It was a modern state. I mean, it would have probably been right up there with Iraq and Iran. I mean, all of them, you know, were getting the money coming in. And if their dictators or their kings or whoever their rulers were, weren't that goddamn greedy, they were actually had some shit. I mean, in Iraq, the women, they didn't walk around in these black things with hoods on their head. They lived in a modern city. You know, they had rock and roll channels. I mean, and the radio, they had, I mean, it wasn't like, it's like, you know, they actually, they went over there started in the 70s to westernize those people. And some of those people went for it, like Iraq and, like Libya. You know, they got the money and they were like these Indians around here. They wanted new cars and shit. And they were, and after they went for the westernization, then the very same people came in and overthrew those governments that had been put in place to push the westernization, and now they're over there killing people because they wear clothes, Western clothes. They want their women back in sacks. So, I mean, anybody that would trust, I heard somebody the other, on one of these goofy things on the stupid box, but they were talking to, I think it was a congressman about this, believing this bullshit over there in Syria about this bullshit chemical attack, and this, a lot of the congressmen aren't buying into it, even though the propaganda machine is pumping hard. 52% think it's a great thing, and we all know it happened, right? Hey, it happened, right, John? It did happen, right? And Assad did it, that's what we said. But you know, Assad's come out and he's just flat denied it, said it was a production, which it was. And now you got these guys up there, and this one goes, well, you have Russia saying this on one side, and are you suggesting that Russia is more honest or as honest as the United States?
Now, remember, they also tried to blame that the whole chemical, this latest chemical attack, not only on Assad, but Russia was partly responsible, too.
Well, hell yeah. And I mean, and this goddamn congressman, he caved, of course. I mean, you talk about a politically correct slap across the face from the mainstream propaganda machine, which Fox is. I love that. The alternative media, you phony sons of bitches. But you know, she goes, are you suggesting that the United States, that Russia is as, you know, as trustworthy as the United States? Oh, no. I mean, he jumps back away from it and says, you know, we just don't have no proof. And there's been, and you, what you've done is the equivalent of convicting him of a crime without even really making an allegation or doing an investigation, which is absolutely correct. But what the hell does any of this matter, people? They're dropping bombs. Do you really think that they think about our permission when they do something like drop that big goofy bomb out there in the middle of the Afghan desert, or when they fire those Tomahawk missiles at the empty ground out in the Syrian deserts? Do you really think they consider what we think about it? Because I tell you what, I've heard these people say it many times. We're just in the way. We're insignificant and in the way. If they could just slaughter us off, if we didn't have these goddamn guns, they could take that 1.4 billion rounds of ammo they got and just get us clear the hell. I mean, all we're doing is eating up their their food, their resources. We're useless eaters. We've done conquered. We've done brought all the resources to bear. And it only takes a handful to keep the oil pumps going and the mining equipment going, you know, because we're not talking about manufacturing. We're only talking about extracting raw resources. And so we have become a problem, and we are the 75%, and that is why, I mean, here we go again. Will they go for World War III, John? Do you think? I mean, it looks to me like they have a carrier group, and everybody's pushing and shoving. I mean, and everybody says, well, yeah, they've been doing this forever. Yeah, they have. But this is also what they've done. Go ahead.
Well, let's take the question from a self-evident point of view. Did they get a world war going in the 1700s? Well, yeah, that was our Revolutionary War. It was actually a world war. Yep. It involved the major continents, the major powers at the time. And there was world war even before that, back in the 1500s, especially with the Spanish and the British and the French. And then, of course, we had the War of 1812, another multi-continent global war. Then, of course, you get into something like World War I, where they developed the weapons of mass killing, like the machine gun, bombs, the plane carriers. Came into existence. Then we had something like World War II, another complete fabrication. And then, of course, they drew into Vietnam, which they managed to keep as a regional proxy war. And then, of course, we had Persian Gulf. So would they push this to another global war with people's finger on the nuclear bombs?
Well,
I think they are just crazy enough to do that.
Oh, they're crazy enough. You know, they went for the proxy wars because that was also the Cold War. And they were spending.
Oh, Henry, there's a lot of money to be made in proxy wars.
There you go. And just have that Cold War backup. You know, so all we have to fight these proxy wars because we can't have a real goddamn fight, or we got to unleash this destruction of the planet. I mean,
you know,
it's been.
We supposedly developed that nuclear arsenal so that we would never have to face global warfare because it would just be too dangerous to do that. So we'll engage in a bunch of proxy wars so we can keep filling the coffers of all the military industrial providers.
Well, once again, I think they've worn that dog out too. I think that they have to. It's time to take the next step. We'll see how this turns out. We'll see if Ping Pong Ball is just another laughable clown of the week, as he has been so many weeks. Or we know Siri is. I mean, Assad's serious over there. I mean, he's been fighting shit. What's it been, about 6 years now, this civil war? They're calling a civil war the butchery of the Syrian people.
Well, when did that start, in 2011 or 12? I forget
now. Seems like it was, I'm not sure. I think it was 12. I'm not going to say that for positive.
It's around 5 years, which is longer than World War II, which is longer than World War I, which is longer than the Battle of 1812, which is longer than the Revolutionary War.
Well, all I can do, John, is tell you it's time to go to the bottom of the hour break and say, we'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
our money. Dumb down our kids. It's MK Ultra. AIDS and SIDS. Chemtrail clouds. GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against whatever they're from. Scum. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I've heard history, Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Don't piss off the grizzly bear.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from thetrenchesworldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1240 Pacific Time, and that was Trevor Nosley. Don't come for my gun, but no, don't come for nothing of mine. In fact, get gone. Anyway, we were on this U.S. wary of Russian role in Afghanistan, and I just wanted to hit this one little part down here. Undermining NATO. You know, NATO was just it wasn't no good for nothing. No Trump in his campaign, but now it's quite viable.
Yeah, remember when Trump had said NATO was obsolete? Now suddenly he just said, well, NATO's not obsolete anymore because I said so.
Yeah, because I've taken control of it. Our generals will be running NATO at this point, and they will be doing attacks on their own authority, which is United Nations authority, because it sure as hell didn't come from the United States. Oh, yeah, it did. The War Powers Act. Wait, it can't be the War Powers Act. That would be a violation of the Ninth Article of the People's Bill of Rights. Well, I don't know, John. This is starting to look like an occupation. American military officials suspect Russia's so-called Afghan peace diplomacy is aimed at undermining NATO and have accused Moscow of arming the Taliban. Like I said, well, just the tables turned here. You know, back in the 70s, it was Russia that was in Afghanistan trying to get the wealth of Afghanistan. And now it's the United States in there trying to take the wealth of Afghanistan for the Zion Empire. At any rate, I mean, well, it's bad when they did it. But, I mean, again, here you have the Afghan people, just like the American people. Nobody considers that, hey, you know what? Afghanistan belongs to the Afghans. It's their property. And that's really what this is about, stealing. It's just more strong-arm theft with a United States financed United Nations, mobsters. Because that's really what they are. 16 years, people. $100 per, I mean, $1 million per soldier that has been there for 16 years. And you wonder why you don't have a pot to piss in nor a window to throw it out. It's because you're buying bombs. You're buying tanks, you're buying artillery, you're buying bombs, you're buying airplanes with your money. And that's really what you wanted to do. It's a really good deal for you. It's a really good deal for me. Let's see what we got next here. Got his papers stuck together. That ain't no good. Justice prevails. California DOJ forced to return 500-plus guns to an FFL dealer. Justice prevails, John. Now, if justice prevails, I'm going to read in this article, and it's going to say that these people who illegally confiscated these which aren't even firearms. Firearms are fully automatic, machine guns and sawed-off shotguns and hand grenades. But we're going to find out that these people, if they did confiscate this man's property illegally in the violation of our most sacred, our cornerstone for our law, then they're going to be punished, right? They're going to do some time in jail. They're going to suffer like I would if I was being punished for, well, they can't even punish me. If I was being, well, oppressed by occupational authority that has no authority in this country. That, I mean, if I did something really, you know, terrible or, I mean, just unthinkable, like, well, not wearing my seatbelt, there would be consequences. Let's see what kind of consequences there are for these people. Anyway, this is from Swifty Lomax. It was sent in by it's forward discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Over 500 firearms, and they're not firearms. A firearm is defined by law as a fully automatic weapon, have been returned to a California FFL dealer and his family after a lengthy battle with the California Department of Justice. And you know, though, I'm sure they're going to talk about civil suits and maybe they'll recover the money that they had to spend. But what you're going to get out of this article is this is somebody with some money. This person had the money to fight. What about the people that they just take their shit that have no money to fight? Who can't afford to hire a law firm that will actually work for them? But they'll work in the admiralty, and these people will, you know, jump through hoops and stand on their head, and they'll get their shit back that should have never been taken, and you know, there'll be no consequences to the criminals who took their shit. Fresno County Superior Court Judge, ooh, there's that Superior Court again. What the hell is that doing jumping into the scene here? Jonathan Cooklin ordered in December that the guns be turned over to the, oh, I missed the, okay, over 500 firearms have been returned to the California FF dealer and his family. We did that. Okay, Fresno County Superior Court Judge Jonathan Cooklin ordered in December that the guns be turned over to the Fresno firearms dealer on behalf of the family. The state has since complied with that order. California's DOJ arrested Albert Shikali and seized 541 firearms in a highly publicized sting in 2015. According to a press release from the then Attorney General Kamala Harris, Shackley was arrested due to a prior mental health hold, which prohibited him from owning firearms and allegedly landed him in the state's Armed Prohibited Persons System, APPS database. You know, no fly, no buy, state databases, blatant violations of the second article of the People's Bill of Rights, but you know, that has been suspended by the occupational force. And, you know, the people that want to go along with this shit, and we got to give it a chance. What are you going to give tyranny a chance? Give tyranny a chance. That's what they're telling us, people. But the state never filed charges. After receiving national media attention, including a press conference displaying all 541 guns, the case never moved forward. As far as I'm concerned, it was a real political deal, Shackley's attorney Mark Coleman told the Fresno Bee. California Attorney General Kamala Harris was running for senator. Harris, who won her Senate seat last November, said in 2015 that removing firearms from dangerous and violent individuals who pose a threat to themselves and the public is a top priority for the California Department of Justice. Perhaps the state decided not to file charges when they realized Shackley had no criminal record, legally owned all his firearms, owned a retirement home, and was the retired budget director of Fresno Community Hospital. Ooh, but like I said, if this had just been a regular fella out there, you know, a plumber or a carpenter, I'm telling you right now, he wouldn't have got his guns back. I've seen it too many times. I mean, they'll take them and there'll be no charges and you file for them and they just throw your paper in the goddamn garbage and then what? Well, I guess you got a choice. Either they keep your guns or you go take them back. Because, like I said, this is being publicized to try to give some notion of justice out there. And the true justice would have been the people who did this did it obviously illegally. I mean, even to suggest taking anybody's firearms because without due process of the law, that's straight up treason. But these people here, they're special. I mean, they love us and they're trying to save us from ourselves even as they're killing us. Okay. In any case, while Shackley wouldn't face jail time, he and his family weren't able to get their guns back until they went to court. Shackley was notified in July 2016. I mean, they've said, you know, we got no charges, anything. Yeah, we're keeping your property. Well, I guess I better take him to court. I got all this money. I'll hire a law firm. and I'll get my 541 guns back. But like I said, this, what about the little guy? A guy who has, you know, 5-10 guns, and, you know, somebody, a family member who's turned communist on him or something. I think he's dangerous. He better take his guns. Oh, well, that's all we need is just you thinking it. And that's his due process of the law. We're going to take his guns and kill him if he tries to stop us. He would face no charges and told to contact the DOJ about returning his property. After contacting multiple DOJ agents without success, Agent Lisa, or Isaias Rivera, it must be Italian, finally informed Shackley that his weapons would not be returned. I mean, right there you have it. I mean, what were they thinking? They filed no charges, but we're just going to keep them and take them? I mean, this is what's been going on across this country for many years now. You know how many people's guns have been just taken from them? And they go, and, you know, the poor guy here, the plumber, he'll go down, I'm going to law firm. I like to talk to a lawyer because I'm going to exercise my rights. I need a lawyer. And so they sit down, the lawyer goes, well, you know, you're up against the state here, you know, a couple $1,000. I can file some papers for you, but I don't think it's going to work, and it wouldn't. The only reason this guy got his guns back is because he had money. He had enough money to replace those guns 10 times over. And, they just grabbed the wrong guy. But, they put this out there to try to justify that if you go out there, you're going to get your guns back. If you didn't do anything wrong and you can prove your innocence, well, then everything's going to work out hunky-dory after you sue to get your guns back. And the people who took them, they're going to face no consequences for stealing your property, seizing your property, a violation of your basic rights and freedoms under the Bill of Rights. Coleman argued in court and proved using postal records that the state didn't notify Shackley of his ineligibility to own firearms until after the raid took place. Coleman also noted that the DOJ broke a promise to Shackley to keep the raid confidential until a court hearing determined whether he was mentally fit to own guns. I mean, listen, cooperate, people. That's what this is telling me. Cooperate, and everything will work out. Don't go fight him. The problem is with the way the guns were seized, Coleman told the Bee. This has been a pretty traumatic experience for me and my family. So we're going to have some civil relief here. I'm going to get a couple $100,000. Well, you know, this guy's rich. He'll get $1 million in a lawsuit because his life and his property and his feelings and his family, well, they're just that more important. Look at his bank account. And that's how this shit is decided. Make no mistake about it. All of Shackley's firearms have been returned to him and his family, including 209 handguns, 88 shotguns, 234 rifles, 100,000 rounds of ammunition, and 10 guns designated assault weapons under California law, including a 50-caliber bolt-action rifle. While Shackley's victory is cause to celebrate, misapplied prohibitions against firearms ownership for the mentally incompetent will continue to be a battle for the pro-gun community. As Coleman pointed out to the Bee, targeting those seeking mental health care is going to result in people refusing to seek mental health treatment. Excuse me. Because they do not want to be in a database causing an incredible chilling effect. Oh, the government lists. I mean, goddamn, did you just acquiesce to this shit, people? Government lists of people of California. You can't have lists, government. Boom! I guess we got to shoot you because you obviously cannot read and interpret. When it's right in front of your face, wait a minute. You did read it. You did interpret it. You're just saying you're going to subvert it. And when it comes to that point, I mean, what's the... Oh, I guess you get a lawyer. And pay if you got the money, you know, if you're in the right social setting, you could get your guns back. How many have they taken? How many have they destroyed? How many have they sold? How many have they put in their private collections, people? I think we all know the answer, and it's a lot. Well, let's see what else we got going on here. Remington rifle settlement in question as gun owners appeal. This is from CNBC, and when I heard about this, I heard about what was going on with the Model 700 rifles a long time ago. I seen a little piece of video on it, and I mean, you're talking about you click the safety off and the son of a bitch goes off. And, you know, my dad owned a Model 700 30-06 with the Mondello stock, one of the finest shooting guns, man. He had a Leopold scope on it. This is back in the days before all the high technology. But, I mean, it had top-of-the-line equipment, and we reloaded all of our own bullets and stuff. And, I mean, what a fine shooting rifle. And it just, I mean, the trigger pull was just perfect on it. I never seen any problems like this with any other gun. One Browning that my brother owned. And, man, that did go off one time. Setting on the sandbags, you know, shifted the shell into it. And, you know, just kind of cuddling up to it to take a shot. And boom! It just went off. I mean, it was two hair trigger, and it was dangerous, and we corrected the situation ourselves. You know, I had seen this documentary where people had got killed with them, you know. You don't want a gun going off when it's not supposed to. But, of course, the way this has worked out, you know, it's just like the rest of it. We're just corporate property. If, you know, some corporate property gets damaged, we're going to make a few adjustments to, you know, quiet down the dissent, but to solve the problem. And, you know, Remington, they've had a good reputation in this country. I mean, that was the Americans' hunting guns. You know, Remington has always been big in the United States, and they made good guns in the past. I haven't checked out their new rifles or pistols or any such, but at any rate, this is from CNBC. Two owners of allegedly defective Remington Model 700 rifles say they will seek to block a landmark class action settlement approved by a federal judge last month. Well, why would they do that? It's approved by a federal judge and everything, arguing their agreement does not go far enough. Now, see what they do when they put this shit together for these class action lawsuits by the bar-run district courts, the admiralty courts, is they take away the individual's right to sue. Now, it just be, you know, you sue this class action lawsuits for everybody that owns a 30, you know, a Model 700. I guess there's a few more models in this that are involved in this particular incident. But they sue for everybody, and the person who, you know, one of their loved ones got killed because the gun fired when it shouldn't have fired. They're caught up in this big web of legalese and bullshit backroom deals that have nothing to do with law, and their redress will be what is dictated by a handful of lawyers that are going to get the lion's share of everybody's money, and everybody else, you know, you get your gun fixed or you get $100,000 for your, they're going to dictate what your loved one's life was worth, or your arm or your leg, whatever you blew off with the gun. But this is you know, how far we've come. It's like the pharmaceutical industry, you know, you see them all the time, these commercials come up. And that this stuff here will, you know, it'll stop your double vision. Of course, the side effects are, you know, your arms could fall off, your legs could fall off, you could puke your guts out and die, you know, shit yourself to death. And they, but this big line, and you see this shit released, you know, it was supposed to be that, you know, they were supposed to pass tests on animals. I mean, it's supposed to be a really complicated process to get it, pharmaceutical out there to where the people were consuming it. But what they did is they put these goddamn trusts, I guess what you call them, companies together, these insurance trust companies. And, you know, they just take on the liability and they set the limits for what you, I mean, well, if you die, you get $10,000. It's written right here. Wait a minute. God damn it. It's my life. And this pharmaceutical, they knew this shit was doing this, you know, had these side effects and could kill me. And this was prescribed. I mean, it was given to me, and I wasn't informed of these side effects. And now somebody's dead. And this is called overhead. Rather than going through all the expense of the testing, they just make this shit, throw it out on the market, and they just figure so much overhead for the people they kill. This is how insignificant we the people are to the ruling elite. It goes back to what we're talking about, Afghanistan. You know, the fact that, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, this country's pushing this and this country's pushing that. The United States, you know, has their proxy. I mean, this is an occupation. You've been there for 16 fucking years. You think we don't understand that this is an occupation? No, we're there to support the government. You mean the handful, the minority that you put in place to rule over the majority, and you have to be there because it isn't what the people want. So you have to be there with your force to force it onto the people who do not want these criminals, these traitors to their people, you know, having control of their country and handing their resources over to international corporate interests, which are the, you know, the international elite. And back, right back to, well, Zion. And so, you know, it just round and around, the same old shit, just a different day. And, you know, our turn's coming up. In fact, they've already got their hands deep into our natural resources. But, I mean, they will not be content until they're taking them for nothing. And, I mean, the handful of us that get to dig them out will kiss their feet and thank them for letting us live another day. Anyway, we're going to roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this frickin' Friday, the 14th day of April, also Passover, I think John said. Good Friday, also Good Friday, 2017, and I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. That means it's time for the Tactical Report with J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. Continuing on with our station identification, you are listening to the Tactical Report, hosted by me, J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, and we are on The Word from the Trenches, which is broadcast by PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, or some people know it, Oregon. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other microbroadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call mine. Our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice Ebola, anthrax, measles, avian flu, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, severe acute respiratory syndrome, bubonic plague, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, and yellow fever. And of course, the latest and greatest Zionist, Jew, communist media sensation, a Zika free lady will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 22-00-29 and the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the tactical report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit *6 to manually unmute. All right, let's get going here. Now, remember, I mentioned all those diseases because that was their little theater that they had before the Trump effect came in to the mass media. Remember that? Before they had Trump, What were they using to distract us? Well, they did have North Korea, which they would bring out every now and then. They'd drag them out and prance them around the global media stage for a couple of days, maybe a week. Remember, they were supposed to have this EMP weapon. It was already developed. It was ready to launch. They had the missile for it. My God, they could put America back into the Stone Age by taking out our grid. Remember all that? About 15, 16 months ago, that's the kind of arguments they were rendering. North Korea had nuclear warheads. They had miniaturized them. They had missiles, which we would call ICBMs, which were capable of carrying them all the way to America. Remember that? North Korea was the big threat back then, but it was the EMP. Remember? The EMP, that was the big weapon they had. That was the advanced weapon system they had. Nobody else had it. There was no way to stop it. Remember all that? That nonsense? Well, that was the distraction they were throwing at us whenever they needed to take a break from the epidemic or the pandemic gambit. You know, distraction, nonsense, media hoax, because that's all these all are. Just something to draw people's attention away from whatever it is that's going on. Remember all those diseases, people? Notice how they've kind of, well, just gone away? Don't worry, people. They'll be coming back, because eventually the Trump effect is going to run out of steam here. So they're going to have to go in the back into their playbook, pull out one of their game plans, and rerun it again, recycle it, just like they're doing right now with North Korea. And remember, not even a week ago, I was reading articles how Britain and Spain were once again facing off over Gibraltar. Remember that? Which is exactly what was happening just about the same time, last time, that the Syrian love missile crisis occurred back there in 2012 or 2013. Remember that? At the same time, almost exactly, they were also having this tension, this issue of tension between Britain and Spain over Gibraltar and the Gibraltar Peninsula and the Gibraltar Straits, because that's the little body of water there that lets ships into the Mediterranean. Remember all that? Yes, people, that's all part of their theater. Anyway, they'll get back to us with the pandemic or the epidemic, though, to be sure. And, of course, I did see an interesting article talking about, and I don't have it up in front of me. I saw it last night, and I just didn't keep it up. I just wanted to remember to mention it because we know this is coming. That, you know, North Korea may have sleeper cells. Remember that word, sleeper cell? I thought that was something that only the ISIS had, or the IS, or the Tekfiri militants, or the al-Nusra Front, or was the al-Qaeda. Remember all that? They had sleeper cells in this country. Well, according to this article, you know, fresh out of CIA, Langley, Virginia, there are sleeper cells. There may be sleeper cells in here of North Koreans who have, drum roll please, that's the horns, biological weapons. And they may disseminate those in all the major cities, or some major cities, all at the issue of their command, which is supposedly being given by North Korean radio, by them going on there and just airing a string of numbers. It's a North Korean radio station. In fact, I had the radio station here. Oh, I don't have it up right now, I don't think. Oh, yeah, I do. Let me see if it'll come up. I don't know if it was on broadcast on the same frequency. 819 kilohertz. That was actually the broadcast frequency that North Korea is using for both its official statements, and it's also a frequency, apparently, that they're using to issue these covert messages, which is nothing more than sometimes a random string of numbers with some sentences in between, some words in between that don't make any sense, like Johnny's little rocking chair, and then they might say a series of five digits like that or something like that. And apparently, the sleeper cells in this country maybe on the receiving end of some of the intended recipients of those messages, which, of course, is their cue. Get ready with that biological weapon. Yes, people, it's all nonsense. Anyway, I mention all that because they will be getting back to this biological if nothing happens here, and they just got to keep us entertained with mass media distraction, the propaganda merry-go-round. They'll get back to the epidemic or the pandemic gambit. Just give them a little time. They're getting a lot of mileage out of this, people, this Trump effect, and now Trump suddenly growing up into his presidency already, and he's already got a huge set of gonads, apparently. Yes, Trump came in, and he was going to be the great peacemaker, but now he just wants to blow everything to pieces, apparently. Yes, his balls are as big as church bells, people, and there's money to be made here for all them military contractors. Let's get going here with mentioning our FTTPSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And, of course, we just recognize one simple fact. There is no country called Israel. It is an international terrorist franchise. Remember, North Korea, Israel was supposedly created by UNGAR, United Nations General Assembly Resolution 181, back there, and if I remember right, November 30th, 1947, where the UN just declared that they had the power to just take anybody's country away that they want, just going to take it because they declared they had the power to do so. In this case, it was Palestine. And they declared at the same time that they could just give that country away to a completely illegal group of foreigners, in this case a bunch of psychotic, scumbag Zionist Jews. And that's how, supposedly, Israel came into existence. Now, of course, the whole pretext to this is a farce, not even remotely believable. And in fact, the first thing that happened after that vote was the Arab states stood up and says, no, you can't do that. Number one, you don't have the power. Number two, it's an illegal vote because you're voting on subject matter you have no authority over. Well, they don't have any authority, to be quite in fact. And so what happened? Well, the Israelis weren't concerned with a little thing like international law. No. Legality? No. These are Zionist Jews. They're going to take Palestine because, well, that's what they want. That's what they covet. That's their prize. That's their jewel. They crave it. You know, like a fat man looking at a hot dog. Oh. He has to have it. He's got to eat it. That's the way the Jews looked at Palestine. And so they invaded Palestine. No legal authority to do so whatsoever. And to show you how much the UN is nothing but a little Zionist bitch agency, instead of declaring Israel in violation of international law by invading somebody else's country, Palestine, instead, what did the UN do? Oh, that's right. Absolutely nothing. Didn't say a word. Not even the typical format of doing nothing, which is a censure. And that's where they get up there and they officially wave their finger. Oh, you're bad. Stop. Stop now. Remember, that's what a censure is. Didn't even do that much. So what happened? Well, in 1948, the surrounding Arab states said, whoa, Palestine was just invaded by a bunch of scumbags called Zionist Jews. And so they decided to help Palestine to try and fight, but they didn't realize the tables were already skewed. They were reading all their intelligence. They were using the American military. They knew how to actually crack any code they can transmit messages in. And certainly, many of the politicians in some of those Arab countries were already nothing more than Zionist shills. So there was never any chance that the Arabs would actually win any confrontation against Israel over Palestine. And to cap it off for the history books, what did the Jews say? Well, the Jews said, no, it wasn't that they invaded an Arab country called Palestine. No, 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 no. No, it was their country. It's been their country all along. And all of the Arab countries were really ganging up on them. And so they declared it, called it, got it put in the history books as the Arab-Israeli War. Meaning, it wasn't Israel that was at fault here. No, it was them pesky Arabs who invaded that country called Israel, which doesn't exist. And that's how Israel has defined this very action, both in its own time when it was occurring, and then afterwards, through the media, and certainly through the history books. So what I'm getting at here also is, when you read this bull crap in the history book, remember what I always tell you. There is always two versions of history. Number one is the version you know, or what you were taught. And number two is what really happened. And most of the time, there's very, very little overlap between those two. Going on. Let's get moving here with our FTTPSA. There is no country called Israel. It is an invaded country. It is a country under Zionist occupation. Its name is Palestine. It has been called Palestine. It's been there for millennia, And it's still there. Just because the Jews say that there's no such thing as a Palestinian people or a Palestinian culture or a Palestinian country doesn't mean squat. Because anybody who has more than 3 functioning brain cells, you know, anything above amoeba level, already understands you never, ever, under any circumstances, believe anything any Zionist Jew tells you. Even when they don't have a reason to lie, they lie because they can't help themselves. Going on. Let's look at the Bill of Rights segment, because the Bill of Rights is what it's all about, people. Now, yesterday we got into this little discussion, or I did, talking about how you will frequently see the argument rendered that, oh, we're a democracy. Democracy is under threat. Oh, this is a violation of our democracy. And what was the conclusion we came to yesterday? Well, if the Constitution was still in effect, and it's not because we're under an enemy force and occupation, and in specific, a Zionist Jew communist enemy force and occupation. Well, if we were under the auspices, the requirements of what we call the U.S. Constitution, we would be a republic. As it is, we're not. We're under occupation. But even under an occupation, we're still not a democracy. No, we're a conquered people because we're under occupation. We're under tyranny, a despotism. That's what occupation is. It's despotism. So that's still not a democracy. If you go back before the Constitution, well, you had the Articles of Confederation. Well, guess what? That was an extension of the British ruling system, which is a monarchy, which is not a democracy. So we weren't even a democracy then. And then if you go back to the founding of the very first English colony, which I believe was Jamestown in the 1600s there, well, that was also an extension of the English ruling system. So it still wasn't a democracy. And if you go back before then, before any Englishmen showed up here, well, maybe you get back to Leif Erikson. And there is some suggestions that Leif Erikson or Erikson the Red, one of the Norwegians there, the Vikings, actually had made it here to North America, at least to the upper northeast portion of it. And so you still weren't under democracy. And then if you go back to the people that did actually live in the land at that time, the American Indians, as Henry pointed out, that was they were under a theological system. They had their shaman, you know, their religious leaders were, in fact, also the political leaders. And it still wasn't a democracy. So let's take it back before the American Indians. What were here? Well, you had people like the Clovis Man. Maybe you had some kind of Neanderthal, or at least one of the related, one of the related variants of pre-Homo sapiens, which is what modern man is. They certainly weren't operating under a democracy. In fact, they didn't even have the word. And then what was there before them? Well, you had the wild animals, the saber-toothed tigers. And if you go back far enough, you had the dinosaurs, and certainly they weren't a democracy. So the point is, there is no point in the existence of this planet when this continent, the location that we call the United States of America right now, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from Canada to Mexico, there is no point in the history of this planet when we were ever a democracy. Not even once. Not even for a day, not even for an hour. In fact, according to my research, not even for so much as 1 minute. So how much wrong can you possibly be? In fact, you can't be any more wrong than that. To call us a democracy, or to say we were a democracy, if you want to argue about the nature of what we're in right now, you couldn't possibly be more wrong about anything. We've never been a democracy, ever. Or this continent, even before there was people here. Going on. Let's take a quick look at what's going on, because it does look like they may be trying to ramp up for World War III. But remember, today is Good Friday. You know, Good Friday is a very important day. It's the day the Jews celebrate, because that's when they got rid of one of their anti-bankers, which is kind of what Jesus Christ was. Remember, he went to the temples and he overturned the money changers' tables. And who are the money changers? Well, there's your pre-form of bankers, right? Your money exchangers, your currency exchangers. Oh, and remember what the Jews operate through, if nothing else? The currency. That's what the Jews have always done. So Jesus came in, and I guess you would call him the first modern-day anti-banker. And, well, the Jews weren't going to tolerate that. So they nailed him to the cross, literally. And that's called Good Friday. Why they call it Good Friday? Because that's when the Jews say, good riddance. They got rid of the guy that was getting in the way of money. There was money to be made at those temples. And he was getting in the way of that. Well, let's see what the Christian faith in general has to say about Good Friday. And I'm going to go over to Commipedia here. Good Friday is a Christian holiday commemorating the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary. It is observed during the Holy Week as part of the Paschal Tridum on Friday preceding Easter Sunday and may coincide with the Jewish observance of Passover. It's also known as Holy Friday, Great Friday, or Black Friday, not to be confused with the sales over at Sears, or Easter Friday, though the last term properly refers to the Friday in Easter week. The date of the holiday in the Gregorian calendar varies from one year to the next, and there is a disagreement about its calculation. It is widely instituted legal holiday around the world, including in most Western countries and in 12 U.S. states. Some countries, such as Germany, have laws prohibiting certain acts, such as dancing and horse racing, that are seen as profaning the solemn nature of the day. Well, let's take a quick look here, because this is a little bit interesting. And of course, I am what they call a Roman Catholic. I'm not what you would call a practicing Roman Catholic, because even though I like my faith, I detest the institution which claims to be a defender of that faith. And of course, I'm talking about the Vatican and the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which is nothing more than a cesspool of corruption. Well, let's look at the etymology here on this term, Good Friday. The etymology of the term good, and etymology means the history of the word, the etymology of the term good in the context of Good Friday is contested. Some sources claim good to simply mean pious or holy, while others contend that it is a corruption of God Friday. The Oxford English Dictionary supports the first etymology given of a day or season observed as holy by the church. Also as an archaic sense of good and providing examples of good tide meaning Christmas or Shrove Tuesday and Good Wednesday meaning the Wednesday in Holy Week. In German-speaking countries, Good Friday is generally referred to as, I'm not sure how to say this. In fact, I've never even seen this word before. It looks like Karfreitag. Karfreitag, and I'm sure I'm butchering that word verbally. Kar, from the Old High German, kara, bewail, grieve, or moan, and Freitag for Friday. And I'm sure I'm not saying that right either. Mourning Friday. Mourning as in your sense of loss, like someone's died, you're in mourning. Mourning Friday, so you're grieving your sense of loss Friday. The car prefix is a cognate of the English word care, in the sense of cares and woes. It meant mourning, you know, as in a sense of loss. The day is also known as Stella Freitag, or Silent Friday. So there's just a little bit of a background about this phrase, this very, very worldwide recognized, and I don't want to say holiday, but recognition of really what is a quintessential moment in the Roman Christian faith and Christian faith and Christianity in general, and that is when Jesus supposedly was crucified, that is, he was giving his life in penance for our sins as mortal men, and then that's supposedly behind some of the Roman explanation, or not wrong, Roman Catholic explanation, or the cathartic explanation of why Jesus Christ was sacrificed. It was more than, you know, when you learn about this in the Catholic faith, it wasn't just about him turning over the tables in the Jewish synagogues, the money changers, you know, in the faith itself, in the Catholic faith, part of the reason Jesus was crucified is because God was giving his only son to atone for what was called original sin. In fact, there's very little mention of the fact that he went into the temples and was overturning the money tables. It is talked about, of course, but that's not really given as the reason why he was crucified. But when you look at it from the point of view of physical acts, if you look at it from the point of view of man against man, or men, or a political system against a man, what was his real crime? Well, his real crime was he was going in there and disrupting commerce, the flow of money. Which one is the believable one, or all of them to some degree? Well, that's purely up to you. That's why it's called the faith. All right, let's get moving here. Well, let's look at North Korea, because it looks like they're ramping this up. This is Good Friday, so this is viewed also as a blood sacrifice. In fact, what was the greatest blood sacrifice ever committed in human history? Well, if you believe in any of the particulars of the Catholic faith, well, that would be the crucifixion of God's Son. I mean, how do you get more of a blood sacrifice than that? Nailing God's sons to God's Son to a cross, and not only do you bleed out a little bit, but of course the Roman centurion also speared him, stuck him in the side. And of course, some of the blood was caught in the chalice, in a cup, which of course is what the movie, what was it, with Indiana Jones. I can't remember which one it was, where they're looking for the Christ of the cup of Christ. Supposedly that is also the cup that caught some of his blood in it. So he died not so much from the bleeding, of course. When you are crucified, the way you really die is actually suffocation. What happens is you become unable after several hours of being in that position like that to either push up on your feet or to stand up enough that the arms being stretched out like that don't pull up and restrict your rib cage to the point that you can't breathe anymore. You know, physically, your muscles reach a point of exhaustion, and you simply cannot counteract the forces of your arms being pulled apart like that and the weight of your body pulling down, elongating your rib cage from your shoulder sockets to the point you can't breathe. So typically the form of death from crucifixion is actually slow suffocation, which is a pretty horrible way to go. Going on, let's talk about North Korea. Talk about suffocating on something, and that's called propaganda. But that doesn't mean they won't exercise something here, because again, this is the weekend of the greatest blood sacrifice in human history. That is, if we take any aspects of the Catholic faith, the Catholic religion, as having some fact in it, and that is this person called Jesus Christ did exist, and that at some point he was crucified, of course, and he was he's presented as being the Son of God, and you can't have a greater blood sacrifice than killing the Son of God, now can you? So let's see what they're lining up here with some of the propaganda about what may be coming, even possibly as soon as this weekend. It says over here, now we talked a little bit about some of this, over in True News. North Korea will bomb U.S. bases and the South Korean president's residence. That's pretty specific, don't you think? You know, it's not enough to just bomb South Korea or maybe some of the major cities in South Korea, like its capital, Seoul. No, no. They're going to make sure they bomb the South Korean president's house. Okay, let me know how that works out. Well, let's see what Russia has to say about this over in RT, Russia Today. Now, remember, RT is a state-run news outlet. So when you hear news or headlines from RT, what you're really hearing is the official position of the Russian government. That's really what you're hearing, or at least their official position as far as the propaganda goes. Let's see what this says. RT, North Korea to strike U.S. bases in Asian Pacific and South Korean presidential palace if U.S. attacks. So this headline is making it through multiple media outlets. In fact, I did notice when these came out, these two articles, and they came out almost virtually simultaneously. So it looks like this news was put out on the wire, and not simply that it was put out on RT Today, which was then simply picked up by other media outlets, and then that's how it's propagated through the news network wires, because it looked like when I was watching this that they had come out virtually simultaneously, which means the news was being dripped out through unofficial channels so that effect would occur. Well, let's see what else is being said here, because there's been a whole bunch of headlines about this. I can't get the rest of the story up because I have to refresh, and if I do that, my screen may lock up, but the headline, because I can still see that part. Oh, here it comes. Over, again, RT, Russia Today, which again, just one quick reminder, this is an official propaganda arm, official news outlet of the Russian government. So what you're hearing here is what the Russian government wants you to believe. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. This is the headline, and these are official positions of the Russian government. Now, whether these are official propaganda or they're actually trying to convey some body of fact, it's very difficult to tell, even by the nature of the story. But what we can say for sure is this is approved directly from the Russian government. Over in RT, New Korea war may break out at any moment. And that's supposedly that comment coming from the Chinese foreign minister. And, of course, it's being reported in the Russian media outlet. Let's see if I can get this other headline to come up. Here we go. Now, this is an interesting one, and I have seen this in a couple of different outlets over in Express UK. Express UK, it's a news media outlet in Britain. Kim Jong-un, of course, that's the president of North Korea, orders immediate evacuation of Pyongyang as tensions with U.S. escalate. Now, Pyongyang is the capital of North Korea. It's also their prize city because it's one of the few cities where things tend to work. Let's read the first comment here. It says, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had reportedly ordered residents of the country's capital, Pyongyang, to leave the city immediately, sparking fears he may be preparing for war. Gee, you think? Why else would you have people flee an entire city? Reports in Russian newspaper Pravda report claim more than 600,000 people, which is around 25% of the city's population, are being urgently evacuated as tensions escalate between North Korea and the United States. According to the South Korean media, residents in the kingdom have said goodbye to each other, sparking concerns the tyrannical leader could be about to act after months of nuclear weapon testing. Foreign reporters have also been told to prepare for a big and important event. What does that mean? Kim Jong-un's going to go on a weight-watching program? On North Korea's biggest national celebration called Day of the Sun. And you know what's interesting? You know, atomic bombs have also been called a release of the sun. They have been described as that also. Because the same process which powers the sun to a certain degree powers atomic bombs. Now, of course, the sun is a fusion reaction. Atomic bombs, small ones, are fission reaction. But there is also some fission that goes on in the sun. A tweet from Channel News Asia Beijing correspondent Jeremy Ko said, "We've been told to be ready to move out at 6:20 a.m., but no idea why. Also, no cell phones allowed." More than 200 foreign journalists in Pyongyang, as the country marks the 105th birthday of its founding president, Kim Il-sung, on April 15th. Officials in North Korea have already warned nuclear war could break out at any minute, thanks to the extremely tense situation on the Korean Peninsula. All right, let's see what else we got here. Whoa, I see we're past the bottom of the hour. Tell you what. I'll cover one more headline when we get back because we are past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a bottom of the hour break. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and we'll be back right after these words from our sponsors. Henry, if you please.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holly tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Head high, protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret. With the NSA, and God we trust.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and this show is The Word from the Trenches. Our site is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Tactical Report is a listener-sponsored broadcast, and if you would like to keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. That donate button. Your contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am your host for the Tactical Report, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:38 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:38 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was Nickelback with Edge of Revolution. All right, just where we were going to break, we were going over some interesting headlines right from these Russian state-sponsored media outlets. And remember, so these do reflect the official opinion, or at least propaganda, and maybe even a little bit of fact in there, it's hard to tell, of the Russian government, because that's what RT is. It's a Russian government media outlet. Well, let's look at another interesting headline, and this one's true news. Is Incirlik, and that's the air base over there in Turkey, which is rented by the U.S. government, the U.S. Air Force in particular, and in fact is nothing more than the major transit hub for the CIA bringing all that heroin out of Afghanistan. Remember, they bring it out of Afghanistan, they land some of that right there in Turkey, which is a major transit hub, and they'll put it on different flight planes for different flight routes into different parts of the world to deliver all that heroin. Well, it says here, is Incirlik Air Base and its nukes being moved to Syria? Well, that could be a pretty serious development. Vero Beach, Florida. On April 8th, Debka File, a website suspected to maintain close ties with Israeli intelligence, reported that the Pentagon was preparing to move U.S. assets currently stationed at the Incirlik Air Base in southern Turkey to five separate locations in Syria. Several U.S. engineering teams are working round the clock to build a big new air base in northern Syria after completing the expansion of another four, Debka reported. They are all situated in the Syrian borderland with Iraq. Debka claimed that the Tabqa, which is about 40 kilometers, and that 4 times 6, 24 miles west of the ISIS-held Raqqa, has accommodations for the 2,500 U.S. military personnel currently housed at Incirlik, will serve as the hub. The other four locations mentioned are the Hajar Airport, two small airfields in Kemeshli, which currently service farm transport traffic, but have been converted to military use, and the last in Kurdish-controlled region of Kobani, north of Aleppo, near the Syrian-Turkish border. The site of Tabqa airfield was captured as recently as late March by the Syrian Democratic Force, which are Kurdish Arab fighters, which were flown in and dropped there by U.S. Air Force's Air Mobility Command, Debka reported. It was quickly dubbed Incirlik 2, after the U.S. command center running the Iraqi military offense against ISIS in Mosul. I'm trying to see what... I was trying to see where it talks about the nukes. That's further down. Let's see if they mention that. Nope. Oh, here we go. On July 19th edition of True News, interviews with Hans Christensen, the director of the Nuclear Information Project at the Federation of American Scientists, regarding the approximate 200 nuclear armaments being housed at the Incirlik Air Base. During the interview, Mr. Christensen noted that the B-61 nuclear warheads would take at a minimum 3 weeks to transfer from the underground bunkers in the event of an emergency, even with the full military contingency facilitating the move. During that same program, retired four-star U.S. Admiral James Lyons told Rick Wiles that Turkey, as a NATO partner, has had their military personnel trained by U.S. counterparts on the procedures for transferring, loading, and using the nuclear warheads located under the Incirlik Air Base. So, This is a pretty interesting development. Now, there is more to this article, but what this is, again, now look what the article is telling us. And again, this seems to be Debka is a front news agency of the Israeli intelligence. They're telling us that we have already established 4 air bases in Syria, completely illegal. We're building a 5th, and they're moving a lot of assets from the Incirlik air base suddenly. Probably highly classified assets. Probably assets under a lot of security. And if that's what you have, then it's probably most likely nuclear materials. So anyway, now how true is this? There's no way for me to know from this position. I can only report what's coming out in the news here. Now, how factual it is, that yet remains to be seen. Anyway, that's it for me. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend and mentor, Henry Scheidlin. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Excellent report as always, JD, to the nukes being moved into Syria. I mean, you know, with the stuff that's going on in Korea and, you know, the tension supposedly between the United States and Russia, you know, a lot of, it does, you know, look like a lot of cover for the fact that Trump's doing exactly what we said he was going to do. He's coming in and advocating for the top 1% of the world and taking our country. Excuse me a sec. At any rate, you can't forget the Georgia Guidestones. They do intend to exterminate a large portion of the population of this planet. That they've literally chiseled it in stone. And it's got to happen sometime. And they are behind the times here, aren't they, John? I mean, they're behind schedule.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was interesting. I saw a couple of other articles mentioning the Georgia Guidestones in relation to this current set of circumstances.
Very well could be. You know, you're talking about Syria again, and I've been watching on the stupid box. You know, the big contention they're putting out there right now is no matter what else, Russia was supposed to make sure all the chemical weapons, Assad got rid of all the chemical weapons, and there are definitely chemical weapons there. If nothing else, there's chemical weapons there. But now, there's a country that sits right on the border of Syria, and they had advisors generals, up in the bunkers with the ISIS. Our enemy friend, and Daesh. John, is it possible for them to actually take chemical weapons? I'm sure Israel doesn't have chemical weapons, but if they did have chemical weapons there, wouldn't it be possible for them just to bring them across the border for show? I know that was not sarin gas. And they're even starting to, that's been forced into the mainstream. They're showing, you know, like, these congressmen coming up and saying, man, it just doesn't work. There's been no investigation. And you know, when I don't know if you've seen that latest video we put up from, I can't think of the guy's name. Maybe Lori can give it. But it flashes all these things. And one of the things that's flashing is, a full Kim suit that you would have on if you were, James Colbert is the name on the video. But it shows, you know, like a full suit that you would have on. I'm telling you, I mean, if you were going to deal with sarin gas, you better have this shit on. Cause like, just to touch it and it'd kill you. Instead of walking around with their hands and no mask on or anything and just dealing with the sarin gas, it's the sarin strikes, a conspiracy theory is what the video is called. And you should watch it. It's a real good video. And, but they, you know, the bottom line is they can't stop the truth from coming up from the bottom. And I think they're making their move. I think Trump was put in there because he's just going to do it. He'll do it. He's going to do what he's told by his Jew masters. He is a Jew. His family is Jews. The Jews have taken control of the occupational government here. And, they're going to go for it. And finally, you know, you were talking about the Homo sapiens and, you know, the Neanderthals that became the Homo sapiens that today are the Homo sapiens. Yeah. That's homosexual Homo sapiens, which if they had been homosexual Homo sapiens from the beginning, we wouldn't be here. Anyway, that's...
I'm not comfortable with the idea that I'm a homo.
No, I don't want to be no kind of homo.
Yeah, I don't either.
Homie doesn't swing that way.
Well, you know, just talking about Korea quick. Now, we got the USS Vincennes Aircraft Task Force carrier group on its way to the Korean coastline. And again, there's plenty of standoff distance between where these task forces need to be as compared to what they can engage. They don't have to be sitting right on top of any intended area of operation. But remember, any of these aircraft carrier task force groups, especially if they suspect they're going into a potential combat situation, will have a submarine escort. Period. Bar none. You're going to have hunter-killer submarines that look for other submarines, and you're also going to have nuclear-capable submarines, ours, and that, of course, is going to be the Ohio-class submarine, our biggest one in inventory. And remember, just one Ohio-class submarine carries 24 Trident II D5 SLBM ICBMs, and that's a sub-launch ballistic missile, and each Trident carries up to 12, what are called MIRVed, independently targeted reentry vehicle, 12 warheads, W-76 or W-88s, and that means one submarine, because it's 12 times the 24, one Ohio-class submarine carries nearly 300 nuclear warheads, the smallest being 300 kiloton. Now, if you don't know what 300 kiloton is, the nuclear bomb that was set off over Hiroshima was 15.
Two.
So imagine something that's about 50 times bigger than that. That's the small nuclear warhead these missiles will carry. And this one submarine carries at least almost 300 of those. So one submarine is more than enough to destroy the entire country of North Korea, because I did a lookup on how many major cities North Korea has, and I can only count 28. I actually went through the list and I counted up 28, and that would be a major city. And I think the definition was this would be any city with more than 75,000 people. They only had 28. I mean, at 28, that means you only have to launch three missiles, and you've covered every single major city in North Korea with some warheads left over. And then you still got another, you launched three, so you still got another 21 missiles in the silos ready to go.
So what you're telling me is the mother of all bombs is actually just a weak bitch?
It's a weak bitch, but it's also an unnecessary one, because if you're in a situation where you need that kind of explosive power, a small tactical nuke is way easier to deploy.
You know, that's what I'm looking at here. Like, they're coming up just to cross that line, to finally cross that line and start. We know they used depleted uranium in Iraq. You know, they've been, firing ordnance that it puts off radiation for a while. But, you see the tomahawks coming off the footage of some time when they fired some tomahawks. And then you see the big bomb, if it ever dropped or where it ever dropped, who the hell knows. You can't believe one goddamn word these people are saying. But when I seen the hype, like I seen this morning, I mean, I've seen a lot of this build up to, something could, just to see what's how people are going to react. But what I saw today, talking about this weekend, it was like the, I've read a few books on the War of Northern Aggression. like I said, the people, they were getting together, the way they talk, excuse me a second. I had to cough. The way they talk, back then about, the way that this was just going to happen, is we're getting ready to have some war. And I think back to a couple months ago when I told you I ran into the old guy in the store, an old friend of my dad's. And one of the things he said, we're going to war, I guess, he'd seen the preludes to the wars and what might have you. But the way they talked about this is just like this is already a done deal. Get ready to observe this weekend, not whether it happened or not. Who the hell knows? Anybody that says they can predict these psychos is psycho themselves. But we do have one more article we can jump into here real quick. Let's see. MIT Press publishes children's book titled Communism for Kids. Now, what's wrong with this picture, people?
I had that article up yesterday, and I meant to cover it, and I just ran out of time.
I had it yesterday, too. I hit the bottom, and I had a couple left over from yesterday, but this is one of them. And, the bottom line is sedition. I mean, attempted overthrow of a government is no small matter. But what they're telling you here, communism cannot be in this country. This country, the founding documents, whether they're being enforced or not, they outline a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individual. Communism is the direct polar opposite of individualism. It is collectivism. and to preach this stuff. If you went into another country and started preaching like individual rights and freedoms, they'd hang your ass. Go into a communist country and try it, because it would be an attempt of overthrow of a legitimate government. But I mean, now we see here, you know, we've seen the Communist Party holding their convention up there in Chicago and Illinois there. I mean, they're just coming right out. Yeah, the communists are here. We're here and we're queer and we're going to take your country away from you.
Yeah, and what I love about this book, Henry, is, you know, usually they'll try and mask it. You know, the red crayon, I think it's blue. We're all one. The family community, the global community. No, the name of the book is Communism 101. How much more blatant can you get than this? You can't.
This is testing the waters, and you know that these people who think that something has changed here with Trump, he put in place, and Mark Kornke's actually correct on this. He's not a fascist. He's a goddamn international communist. But the fascists have latched onto him. The fascists, I mean, what we have here, what we've been calling democracy, actually is the parts of fascism and communism that work the best to control people. You have think tanks that have sat down and just find the elements that have worked in the past. It's been an experiment. I mean, they talk about our great experiment here with freedom, which is the biggest lie. I mean, that's like you can grow up and be the president kind of lie. But the bottom line is this is open sedition, right in your face sedition. In any other country, I mean, go over in Israel, man. You know Israel, that free democracy nation over there. Go over there and start preaching the Bible on a corner in one of them streets and see what happens to your ass.
Well, but yeah, go into an Islamic country and say that, Muhammad is a fake.
Exactly. Try it.
Oh, you'll be dead quicker than you can bat an eyelash.
Exactly. Iran. Iran's a theocracy. That is the body of their law. You come in and start preaching something else, you're seditious. You're in there trying to overthrow their form of government. And by God, they're doing it here, right out in your goddamn face. And Trump there, who's America, you know, there ain't America, jobs in America. You think he doesn't know this shit? You think, I mean, you see him being as much of a communist as he is a fascist, using the elements of control just to see who's going to get control.
Well, remember we used to see images of when Obama was here, you know, Barry Satoro, and they would show like a morph of Bush becoming Obama. Or, it would be like a freeze frame of Bush and Obama overlaid on each other, that they were one and the same. Well, all you're going to do is overlap Trump on that now.
Exactly. I mean, we've said it all. People know it now. That's the bottom line. That's why I think that this shit could be real. I mean, they could go. At some point, I know that it is their intent to exterminate about 98% of the population on the whole goddamn planet. And that's it's like us talking about getting the illegals out of here. 100 million of them. That's 21,000 a day. You got to do some serious goddamn killing to kill 6 billion plus people. You can't. I mean, you better be getting attuned to what you're doing and doing some serious hard work and figuring. I mean, you can't just kill a few here. I mean, you can't just go out and start shooting. You ain't got enough bullets.
Well, Henry, wouldn't a war facilitate that, to get us just kill each other?
Well, if you could get this nuclear shit flying around, and then people, you know, sick, radiation sickness, and then maybe come in behind it with some biologicals, and how long would it take you to figure out that it was biologicals killing you along with the radiation? And not to mention they've already weakened the people through their soft kill methods with the vaccinations and the GMO foods and the chlorine in the water and, you know, the right down the line.
Now, Henry, someone will say, but, oh, the elites, they got to live on this planet, too. They would never poison it with, say, radiation, you know, like Fukushima's not happening right now.
If you wanted to put something in a certain food, in a population, say, right here where I live, if they wanted to put something in a certain food to get the non-desirables, the people in the way, all they got to do is go down to their lodges where they are, where their secret societies are, and say, don't buy that product for 2 months. Because for 2 months, you ain't going to want to eat that. That's all we're saying. Just go on about your business. Everybody who ain't one of them is in the way, and they want them dead anyway. I mean, people they don't see the simplest shit.
And, Henry, if you want to promote the sale of that particular food item, put it on sale.
There you go. If you're one of our brothers in your store, you put that on sale, man. Just make it just irresistible for the goyim, because we're culling the herd. Hey, but the whole point here is, though, we're looking at us right in our face. Communism for kids. Let's look at this. Once again, academia proves itself to be a hotbed of delusional communists who seek to warp the minds of the young with propaganda. MIT MIT Press, a publisher affiliated with the world-renowned Massachusetts Institute of Technology, recently published a children's book titled Communism for Kids. Its content is every bit as asinine as the title suggests, according to the book's description. This little book proposes a different kind of communism, one that is true to its ideals and free from authoritarianism. Where does this communism exist?
Whoa, Henry, I want some of that communism, not the communism where I get killed.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the sugar communism you always get right out the gate, ain't it? This is the cell before the bait and switch and the bullet in the head. I don't know, people, but I would keep my eyes open this weekend. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, I mean, communism for kids. It's right there in your face. Communist, the goddamn communist convention in Illinois. Communists are right here. Remember the wars, 80,000 of our people dead to stop the spread of international communism, which now it's okay. You know, just a few years, it's okay. It's no longer a threat to freedom and liberty for the individual. It's communism. This is what we want. And that is the word from the trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!